It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Happy to welcome Henry Winkler back to the show. Henry has had a four-decade career, but will always best be known as the Fonz on Happy Days. By the way, that career has included a lot of movies: Night Shift, The One and Only, Click, The Waterboy. He's produced TV series like MacGyver and Hollywood Squares. He produced a couple of Dallas reunions before it came back as a new show on TNT. He has written some 20-plus books for kids, including the very popular Hank Zipser series. And in recent years, he's been a cast member of Children's Hospital on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim block. He's had recurring roles on Royal Pains and Hero Factory. And now he's here in St. Louis for this weekend's Wizard World Comic Con at America's Center. It's here for the first time in St. Louis, and I'm happy to have him back on the show. Hi, Henry. How are you?
I am unbelievably good.
Last time you and I talked was when you were coming out with one of your first Hank Zipser books, which, by the way, every time you sent me one or your publisher sent me one, I gave it to my daughter, who was young then, and she absolutely loved them.
Oh, thank you.
How many of them did you end up writing?
We wrote 23 novels altogether, and there are 17 Hanks, and now there are 3 Ghost Buddies. And I wrote one adult book about fly fishing for trout, which is my favorite thing to do when I'm not working.
Mm-hmm. The Zipser books, as I recall from our first conversation about them, is about a kid who has dyslexia based on you, which you had. And I'm curious now, as a man, you know, well into adulthood, have you beaten dyslexia, or do you still suffer from it?
You know what? You never beat dyslexia. What you do is you learn to negotiate it. Honestly, the most important thing for teachers and parents is keeping the child who learns differently, who really knows, believe me, they know internally that they're not keeping up, keeping their self-image buoyed. Because if a child is comfortable, they can absorb. If a child is anxious because they know they're not keeping up, they're made fun of, they're put down, those children will shut down.
And have you heard from kids who have read Hank Zipser books and said, you know what, I can relate to this, this is the problem I had, or maybe they didn't even know they had dyslexia until the book was read to them?
You know what, that is exactly what happened. I'm going to have some books with me, you know, at Wizard World,
yep.
Some Hank Zipser, some Ghost Buddies, some of the fly fishing book. But the thing that kids write, there are two things. One is they all seem to use the same word. They say, you're hilarious. So, because they're comedies first.
Mm-hmm.
They're meant to just entertain them. And number two, they say, how did you know me so well?
Because you were that kid.
I am that kid.
Oh, I didn't mean to put it in the past tense. I'm sorry.
Reading is still hard. I can't spell.
Yep.
I can't even depend on spell check. The computer yells at me.
Which is why your co-author Lynn Oliver exists.
That is true. She is a wonderful, wonderful friend. And together, if we don't make each other laugh, it doesn't go in the book.
Yeah. As I was mentioning all of your credits, besides the writing credits, I left one out, which, of course, was your work on Arrested Development.
We just finished the new season, and it starts in the spring on Netflix.
Yeah, you're playing Barry again?
I play Barry again.
What was it like to get back with everybody? It's been so long since you actually did the series on Fox. Did everybody just fall right back into the same rhythm?
You know what? It's like riding a bike. It was, first of all, it was great to see everybody because everybody is now, you know, flourishing out in the world. It's just fantastic.
So how many episodes will we be getting on Netflix?
Well, I think 10 right away.
And are they doing the same thing with that they did with House of Cards, which is release them all at once and let people watch them?
I believe so.
I'm curious, because you're a producer, a director, and a guy with all of these years in the business as an actor as well, what you think of Netflix's business plan in releasing all the episodes at once and just telling
you know
people
what?
To watch
it
them.
It's incredible because take a show like Breaking Bad.
Yep.
So we came to it a little late.
Me too.
And we found, a whole season on Netflix and Amazon. And we were then able to watch three or four at a time because you wanted more right away,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have to wait. And
yeah.
I thought that was just sensational.
That's exactly the experience I had with Breaking Bad. I had never watched the show until a year ago, and then I saw they were streaming on Netflix, and I would watch one, and then I would watch another one, and I'd watch another one. And, you know, I'd be 6 hours into it and go, I have to leave the house now.
You know what? It's absolutely true. I know that feeling. And your jaw drops. You can't believe what you're watching. And you have to walk away. You have to pry yourself away from the television.
Now, everybody knows you from the Happy Days Jump the Shark episode, which, of course, became famous. And you and I have talked about that before.
Yes.
And you parodied that in an Arrested Development episode.
I'm the only actor in the universe who has jumped the shark twice.
Will you be doing a third shark jump?
Not that I know of. In this one, I wear one of the most outrageous costumes. Mitch Hurwitz, who is the head of Arrested Development, is so brilliant, and a lot of it happens right on the stage. You're doing something that he wrote, and he hears something that he thinks is funnier, and all of a sudden, you can't keep a straight face from your own self,
mm-hmm.
because what he just told you to say was so incredible.
So you're allowed to improvise and come up with new stuff?
Yes, but you know, you can improvise, and he lets you go, but he is very clear about his vision.
After all the projects that you've worked on, when you come on to a set, whether it's Arrested Development or Children's Hospital or anything else, what do you want from the director?
You know what? I'll tell you exactly right. I don't think there are many actors who are really good at what they do, who don't need a third eye, who don't need somebody who is objectively looking and helping to shape. So you want someone with a point of view. And in that point of view, in the structure of that point of view, comes your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that is also why what I love about Wizard World is that I get to meet everybody who watches these different projects. And the people that I would never get a chance to say hello to.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really just fantastic.
Yep.
Because I don't sit behind the table. You know, I stand in front of the table, so I look people right in the eye and get to have a moment with them. It's really a terrific experience for me.
This is the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris talking with Henry Winkler, who is in town today through Sunday for Wizard World Comic-Con at America's Center, and he will be here Friday and Saturday and Sunday doing Q&As and meeting people. I have one other directing question for you since we got off on that a moment ago. 1988, you directed a feature film with Billy Crystal and Alan King called Memories of Me, which I thought was just a wonderful, heartwarming, and oh-so-funny movie.
Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, at that point, Alan King had been in show business 300 years.
Yes, that is true.
So what do you tell him? I mean, here's the opposite side of it.
There are two things you do. You point the camera and hope you get his instinct and his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had one argument, rest his soul. He was going on an audition in the movie. He was an extra in the movie business, and now he was getting an audition for a speaking role.
Which all extras desperately want.
Okay. And he came to the set dressed to the nines.
Mm-hmm.
But he was dressed as the well-to-do Alan King. He had a beautiful coat on and a tie and a silk handkerchief coming out of his lapel. And I said, I'm so sorry. You look so handsome, but that's not your character.
Mm.
Your character cannot dress like the well-to-do, successful Alan King.
Right.
And we argued for 20 minutes. He went downstairs. He put on his costume. And he gave what I think is one of the best performances of his life.
I agree with you. I agree. How did you get drawn to that project? I know Billy wrote it and he was going to star in it. How did
Billy
become the director?
Billy came and asked me.
Oh, yeah?
If I would direct the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I adore that movie. I mean, you know, it just is so emotional for me,
mm-hmm.
that movie. The son, the father-son relationship. As a matter of fact, the man who Alan Ladd's son, Alan Ladd Jr., who ran studios, and he was running MGM at the time,
mm-hmm.
where we made the movie. When he screened it the first time, he came out of the screening room crying and said, "Oh, my God, that hit so close to home."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one I'd like to see again. It's a long time since I've seen it, but
yeah,
I remember,
long time.
Remember loving it when it first came out.
I enjoyed that experience.
I'd like to go back a little bit further even than that to a movie you did during the run of Happy Days called Night Shift.
One of my all-time favorites that I was in.
Directed by your very good friend Ron Howard.
Ron Howard's first major studio film.
Was it a conscious decision by you at the height of the Fonz's fame?
I'm sorry. For the Ladd Company, also for Alan Ladd Jr.
Oh. Was it a conscious decision by you at the height of the fame as the Fonz to play against type and let Michael Keaton have the breakout role as the wacky guy?
Exactly. Ron Howard said to me, "You can have either role." And I thought to myself, well, I've played the Fonz, which was Billy Blaze.
Yep.
I'm going to play Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose Chuck. And Ron was very nervous because it was his first major studio film. And he was so worried because he was so young. He was worried that the crew might not respect him or listen to him. And, of course, knowing Ron, as I did at the time, he is a most powerful or personally powerful human being. The crew hung on every word.
Wow.
As they do today. He just finished another major film about Formula One racing.
Oh.
I think he's putting the finishing touches on it now.
Did Michael Keaton come to you at that time and ask you for any kind of advice since this was his first major role?
No, we never talked about that. He instinctually knew what to do. He was so funny. Ron and I met almost every young actor in Hollywood for that role,
mm-hmm.
where I would read with them in order to audition. And Michael was one of the last actors to come in. We met 30, 40 actors. And within 30 seconds, Ron looked at me, and Michael owned the role.
Well,
and he also is a he loves fly fishing. He loves to go to Montana.
Well, he was a great choice in that role, as, by the way, was Shelley Long, who I don't think Cheers was on the air yet, so that was a breakout performance by her, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She was great, but, you know, it was on the air.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. And we were both on the lot at Paramount Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Both shows were shot at Paramount Studios. As a matter of fact, Scott Baio right now is doing a show for TV Land, which is being shot on Stage 19, where we did Happy Days for 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, I just love the circle of life.
Yeah. Speaking of things you've done with Ron Howard, when President Obama was running at the time as Senator Obama for president in 2008, he did a very funny thing for Funny or Die that was essentially a campaign ad for Barack Obama.
Yes.
And you appeared in it, and so did Andy Griffith.
Well, he came to us he came to me, and he said, "Look, this is far out, but I really think we need to do something."
Mm-hmm.
And I totally believe in this man. Let's make this video. Except you're going to have to dress up as the Fonz. I said, if you do it, I'm in. And we're in the trailer getting our makeup, putting on, you know, a wig that looks like Fonzie.
Yep.
Ron is putting on a wig so that he could have hair. And we're talking about our children and about credit cards and girls. Spending a gigantic amount on a credit card. We're just talking about life.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking to the set, dressed as Richie and Fonzie, talking as dads. I leaned against the car, the 1950s car, and we were immediately thrown 30 years back instantaneously without ever missing a beat.
Mm.
It was surreal. And then it got millions and millions of hits.
I'm sure he had the same thing, but even more so in the scenes that he did with Andy Griffith.
Well, you know, Andy Griffith was living in North Carolina at the time.
Yep.
And so the scenes, I believe, if I'm not giving a secret away, were done green screen.
Oh, really?
So Andy was shot, and then they were in two different locations.
Ah, okay. So he didn't have that warm feeling that he had with you.
Oh, he never lost that warm feeling for Andy. He adores Andy and the memory of Andy, absolutely.
Henry, I have to ask you a couple of internet true or false questions here.
Yes, go ahead. Things
that appear online, and I don't know if they're correct about you or not.
All right, let's go.
True or false, the motorcycle you rode on Happy Days was the same motorcycle Steve McQueen rode in The Great Escape in the big finale.
Made me crazy because I was in the 10th grade when The Great Escape came out.
One of the greatest movies ever.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't breathe after I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that, well, the first motorcycle that I used on Happy Days was a Harley Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just too big for me. So they then got me this bike, and this was the Triumph that Steve McQueen used in The Great Escape at the end of the movie when he jumped the fence.
Wow. And that was, what, 10 years later, something like that?
I couldn't believe it.
That's tremendous. But I also read online that you never actually rode the bike on camera because the first time you tried...
I rode it twice.
Oh, you did?
Once I rode it up the driveway, which was used in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove it 5 feet on a soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was I almost smashed into the sound truck. The bike and I, we fell over.
Uh-huh.
It slid under the truck, took me with it. And they pulled the bike out as fast as they could because they rented it. And then they remembered I was under that truck. But, you know, now there is a movie on cable that we did that came out in October that I love called Here Comes the Boom.
Mm-hmm.
With Kevin James.
Yeah.
And what is surprising is that there's a movie in there that you don't expect. It's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of that movie.
You have done several movies with stand-up comedians, including 4 movies with Adam Sandler.
Yes.
How did you make that connection?
I called Adam Sandler when I first heard the Hanukkah song.
Uh-huh.
And I called him up to thank him for including me. And he said, oh, my God, I've got a collection of your stuff. And I said, it would be a pleasure to sign it for you. And then I was invited to be in The Waterboy, and the rest is history. Then I did Click, and I still take the quarter trick that I didn't click everywhere I go. As a matter of fact, I brought it to St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be doing it this weekend at Comic-Con?
I do it for kids. They are amazed, but I need them to know just what kind of greatness they're standing in front of.
All right, let me get the plug in again. Wizard World Comic Con at America Center. It's the first time we've had the con in St. Louis. It's going on today and tomorrow and Sunday. By the way, Sunday is Kids Day, where kids 10 and under can get in for free with a paid adult ticket. Henry Winkler, Billy Dee Williams, Stan Lee, James Marsters, Dean Cain, Tom Felton, who plays Draco Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies. It's going to be a lot of fun this weekend, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to come by and say hi to you.
I hope so, because it's great to shake hands and hug people who have been so supportive and so warm over the years.
And I hope some kids come up with their Hank Zipser books and tell you some stories.
Or they can get one at the table.
There you go. Henry, a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The best.